Do you remember that show called Room 222? I vaguely do. Wasn't that a show from the 70s? It was about a high school, I believe, and it was Room 222. Or was it a high school or was it something else? I don't remember. I just remember the title. Well, this is my – why am I making a big deal out of 222? This is my 222th episode of this year, and that's a lot of talk about cars and a lot of talk about things that hopefully will help you navigate this industry and your car life so that you can make good decisions. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru, and that's what I do or try to do on a regular and ongoing basis. Today, we are going to dive into some name calling. That's right. I know you're not supposed to call people names, but I have created some labels for the worst driving habits. You know, I think you're all going to recognize these because some of you do. Well, we all do a few of them. And, you know, sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes it's a habit. Sometimes it's not intentional, and we feel really bad when it happens. And so we're going to talk about some of those and some of the things that we can do better. You know, driving is the most dangerous thing that you do every year. It's a fact. Over 3,000 people die per day in this country in automobile-related accidents. So I was feeling that way a little bit when I was driving back from Knoxville. My grandson had a football tournament. That just doesn't sound right. There were 400 teams that were playing in the greater Knoxville area over this past weekend. It's called the Battle of Rocky Top. And they come from all over the country. The teams he played were from, let's see, there was one from Middle Tennessee, one from the Chicago area, and another from West Virginia. And they were, you know, kind of all-stars, I guess, in their areas. My grandson's team is from Northern Kentucky. And they all come down. A lot of them stay in Pigeon Forge and ride the go-karts and do the other rides and eat really good and play putt-putt and so forth. And then they head to their respective game locations and play. And it's a double elimination tournament. And so he got they won the championship in their age group, the open 14 and under group. And so he was real happy. He gets a ring. Last year they won, and they got rings that looks like Super Bowl rings. I said, who paid for that? He said, Nana and Papo. That's his other grandparents. I hope he doesn't hit me up for this year's ring. If he does, I guess I'll have to comply. A few things in automotive news. According to Hyundai CEO, or is it Hyundai? CEO Munoz. That's two hard things to say. EVs are the future, but hybrids provide a transition. You know, I think hybrids are the answer, and so does Toyota. Toyota believes that and Toyota's pretty smart, if you haven't noticed. They build pretty good cars. But they believe that 2050 is going to be the point where they can transition 100% to EVs. That's a long way away. They see hybrids in play between now and then. So they're coming out with an all-new Prius. They just had a debut of the new Prius. The old one came out in 1997, and it's been a successful hybrid. You know, it gets in the mid-50s as far as fuel economy. That's really good. And if they can figure out just some ways to reduce some hydrocarbons that are coming out of the exhaust pipe, then who knows? The internal combustion engine may be around longer than we think. I certainly hope so. But, you know, I have been driving the F-150 Lightning at my dealership, and I like driving it. I really do. I'm not a buyer for it because I travel too much, but I am very impressed with the power and the smoothness, and it's just eerie how quiet it is. I like that part. No vibration either. That's another thing that's a little disconcerting. You know, most engines have a little bit of vibration when you hit the accelerator pedal. And this has none of that. It's just total smoothness and very quiet. And I like it. And I can power my house with it for up to 3 days if the power goes out. I do have to invest about $3,800 if I want it to do that. It costs about, I don't know, $1,200 or so to put in just a level 2 charger, which will charge this thing in about 8 hours. But if I want to reverse power my house through the same charger. That's about $3,800, and that would be useful. It's kind of like having a generator, except it basically powers pretty much everything in your house for up to 3 days. And so if you have a big snowstorm or something like that, that could be pretty handy. So we'll see how that plays out. Let's see what else. Oh, General Motors, you've heard of them, right? They expect EV revenue, that's electric vehicle revenue, of $50 billion within 3 years. I'm doubting it. I'm a doubter. They say that by 2025, that they will generate more revenue from electric vehicles than Ford Motor Company will generate from selling F-Series pickup trucks. And they think that their margins are going to be really good. Now, you know, how do you improve your margins? How do you improve your profit per unit that you sell? Well, you find a cheaper way to make them, or you get the dealers to sacrifice some of their margin. And according to what I'm reading, that's not only their strategy, but several strategies of other companies like Ford, for example, reducing margins for the dealers. Do we have any control over that? Well, no. I can elect whether I want to be an EV dealer with Ford. I've got until December the 2nd to make my decision. And I have had several companies knocking on my door through the email saying, you know, build your infrastructure through us. One of them is called AGI. I don't know what that stands for, but they are the sign company for most car dealers, like the Ford sign that I have in front of my dealership or the Nissan sign that's out front and the one that's on the building. Yep, those are all made by AGI. And now they're into the EV charging station business. Another company called EV Insight, I believe is what it's called. They are offering to put in our superchargers for us that we have to install. Estimated cost, if you're going just to be a certified dealer and sell just 25 EVs a year, Ford estimated at $500,000. Based on my research, I think it can probably be done for $275 to $325, looks like. That's still an awful lot of money just to provide a charging multiple charging stations. There will be two charge points for DC fast charging. That'll charge your car in about 40 minutes. And then there'll be four more charge points for level two chargers, which will charge your car for about 8 hours. So we could have a lot of visitors out here in the parking lot, you know, using our energy, but they have to pay for it. No, this energy is not free. They're going to have to pay for my electrons. And every Ford dealer that's electing to do this program, Ford allows us to charge. So it'll be just like pulling up to a gas pump. You use your credit card and fill up with electrons. I had a guy the other day, he was telling me he had a Tesla. And no, he didn't. He had a Mach-E Ford Mustang. And he filled up somewhere in Illinois and it cost him $30 to charge his vehicle. You know, that's a lot less price. Well, I don't know if you were filling up a Ford Edge, it'd probably cost about $50 to $60 based on current gas prices. So it is somewhat of a savings to be able to use electricity. Plus, like I said, it's really smooth. Okay, I'll take my first break and be back here in just a second. All right, let's do some name calling. You want to? You know, I made up these names. I think I've got 15 or 16 of them. These are all driving habits that drive me crazy and drive you crazy, and things that people do that cause a lot of accidents, there's no doubt. I got behind one yesterday. I had driven a long way yesterday going to this tournament, and the day before I had to drive a total of 400 miles in 2 days. I mean, some of you say, well, that's nothing. I do that every day. But to me, that's a lot. And then I had to drive. My daughter had to go to the emergency room last night. We were there till 4 in the morning. So I'm a little droopy this morning. She's okay, though. Just a little scared. Something weird going on. But no problem. It's all in her head. Well, maybe not. Okay, let's talk about this guy. I got off the 4-lane, and all of a sudden, I get behind this car. And, you know, there's a point where it gets ridiculous how slow you're driving. I mean, maybe they can't see at night. You know, there could be some really good reason. You know, a lot of these have reasons behind them in many cases. But these are people I called slow pokers. You know, they're 15 to 25 miles an hour under the speed limit. and you're just behind. I mean, you're usually in a hurry, you know, like me. I'm usually wanting to get somewhere, and I'm thinking, okay, what are they afraid of? What is the problem here? But then, you know, they don't even know I'm back there, and I need to control myself. It's more of a problem for me than anybody else. But slow pokers can cause accidents as well. You've seen it happen on interstates, and lots of times when people pull out and they just don't accelerate, they get rear-ended. One of the ones that really, I don't know, gets under my skin are the phone addicts. You know, there's 27%, based on a survey by U.S. News and World Report, they did a driver survey, and 27% of the people, I think it's more than that, text while they're driving. And, you know, I see these folks, like when the light changes, everybody reaches for their phone, not everybody, but a lot of people reach for their phone to check their messages or whatever, check the, you know, their Facebook feed or whatever they want to check. And the light changes, but they don't move. They just sit there, and then you have to honk your horn. They're phone addicts. They can't get away from it. Another group that I don't like are the surprise artists. These are the people that don't use a turn signal and just all of a sudden decide to hit the brakes and turn off. You know, that last second decision causes a lot of collisions and a lot of wrecks. You know, if I miss it, I'm not going to do anything drastic. I think it pays to not overreact or do anything drastic when you're going down the road, because that's what causes people to have accidents. And you've all seen the yellow light runners. Yellow to them means accelerate or go faster. You know, this is when the yellow light. I've run some yellow lights. I'll admit it, but it's usually because I'm either going to have to completely lock it down, or I just don't have. I'm like pulling a real heavy trailer, and I just can't get it stopped. If I feel like I can't get it stopped in time, I'm going to accelerate. And I'm going to get through that light. I'm sorry. Is that what you do? I mean, I think some people consider it fun, but there's a lot of side impact collisions happen because the light is actually turned green already for the people going the opposite or the cross traffic. And so you're accelerating and you end up getting hit. That almost happened to me and my wife the other day. We pulled out on the 11E bypass right there at Walgreens in our little town. And this car beside me kind of hesitated, and I went ahead. It was a two lanes going into the other road at the same time. And I saw something out of the corner of my eye, and it was a vehicle that was just running the red light, really, because my light was already green. I just barely missed them. Could have taken the front end off of my 2021 F-150. I would not have been happy. How about the median maniacs? These are people who have no clue, didn't pay attention in driver's ed, don't understand that a median is like a miniature road, except it's at a 90-degree angle to the normal, to the main road. And so they try to turn short. You know, they're making a left-hand turn, and instead of going like it's a miniature two-lane road and going to the far end and turning, they turn short. And this causes a tremendous amount of accidents on non-limited access highways, like the main drag that goes through our four-lane drag that goes through our town. It was just ridiculous. It's so frustrating. I wish these are the median maniacs. Now, you know, you can respond in a lot of ways to these folks. I just sit there and wait to see where they're going to go. Sometimes they just look at me funny because I take I do it the way I'm supposed to, and I kind of go to the right on the little mini road, and they act like I have kicked their cat or something. But they, all of a sudden, there's this light goes on. Ding! Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to go to the right. So, anyway, we have to deal with those median maniacs. Tailgaters, we all know what they are. That happened again on the interstate coming back last night. I had this car. I could not see their headlights, and I'm going 75 miles an hour. So if I had just lightly touched my brakes, would that be a foolish thing to do? Absolutely. You know, that's a bad, that can set off road rage with some people. But tailgaters, come on. You're supposed to have one car length for every 10 miles an hour, right? Isn't that what we learned in driver's ed? If we all would practice that, there'd be a whole lot fewer accidents on the interstate. How about the bright light blinders? The people who, you know, lights have gotten really bright, especially since they're LED. And when you, even the dim lights are bright and they'll hurt your eyes. So what about these bright lights and they don't go off? I mean, it's really tough, especially when you get old like me. And so I'm glad that I have automatic headlights on my vehicle because they automatically dim and they work really well. That technology's been around a long time, but it was not good early on. Now it's good. So if you have an opportunity to get automatic headlights, get it, and then you won't have to worry about blinding other people. How about the road hogs? How about the people who, like, I experienced this on the interstate too, these trucks, these massive trucks going 85 miles an hour and right on the line, people who don't know how to stay centered in their lane, and they're just all over the place. That's also very irritating. Last night with that truck, my wife said, "Do you think I ought to pass him?" I said, "I don't know." You know, and he was staying in the middle lane, so whether I went to the right or left, he was going to be all over the road. So I finally just gunned it and got past him. But you don't want to stay beside cars like that or trucks or whatever. Road hogs are another danger to all of our well-being. How about selfish starters? These are the people that, okay, so you pull up to a red light, and there's a guy on the other side, and he's wanting to turn left in front of you. And you look at him and you're thinking, gosh, you know, should I let this guy turn? There's a bunch of cars behind me. And he really looks like he's a nice fella. I think I'm just going to flash my lights at him and let him turn in front. Wouldn't that be nice? Do I get any brownie points for that? I think you do. You know, let's do that. Let's be more cordial to the people that are wanting to turn left in front of us. And we're at the front person at a red light. Let him go. You know, just one thing you never do is wave somebody like you're in a four lane and you're on the right-hand side of the road and traffic stop and there's no cars on your left-hand side. You know, it's a four lane, like I said, and you wave this guy across. Don't ever wave anybody across, because when you do, you're liable. If you wave somebody across, they pass in front of you, and then they get nailed by a car that's speeding past you in the fast lane, that was your fault. You took control. You decided to become a traffic cop. So I'd recommend that you don't do that, because you are liable for that unless you lie. Yeah. No, I don't. Officer, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't wave him on. Yes, you did. You know, could be another fight. Okay, selfish starters. How about space hoarders, parking space hoarders, people who just don't know how to park? Now, I'll admit it. When I'm driving a really, like my Porsche or something like that, I'm going to find a place way off, or I'm going to go in there at somewhat of an angle, and I'm going to do my best to keep from somebody opening a door on my car. But, you know, I don't get ridiculous with it. Space hoarders create problems for everybody, and especially when you have elderly people that are at the grocery store and they're trying to get into their car or to get kids out of car seats. It's a real problem, so we shouldn't do that. Driveway blockers, these are the folks that are turning into pals, and we're trying to get out of our business there, and they actually block the entire driveway because they're going into a fast food restaurant that is a drive-thru, and they have the right because they really want their double big pal with cheese and Frenchie fries and a 32-ounce tea. Well, you can't block a business's driveway just because you're hungry. So don't forget that. Maybe that's happened. There's Pals is a big chain here in East Tennessee, and you may have that kind of an issue where you live, but it's a problem around here. Left laners, we all know what they are. That's, I guess, become the trend now, is everybody thinks they need to be in the fast lane. And if everybody would just remember what they learned in driver's ed, and that as soon as you pass a car, you're supposed to get over to the right. Pass, get over to the right. The left lane would be clear. And the people that need to be in the left lane would be there, the ones driving the fastest, not people that are just trying to keep up. And it becomes, I mean, when you look at most interstates, I guarantee you're going to see more cars in the left lane now than you ever did in the history of this country. And that's not the way it was designed. So left laners, move over. Also, rubberneckers. We had a lot of rubberneckers last night. There were a couple of times when the traffic slowed to a crawl. And there was just a little accident, you know, on the left-hand side. So there's a police car there. You do not have to lock down traffic for 3 miles and slow down. Everybody doesn't have to get a look. you know, just keep moving. Face forward. That's none of your business what happened back there, but people like to look. That's just human nature. Rubberneckers are always going to be around. How about the dice rollers? You know, only 28% of the people, or 28% of the folks out there driving cars don't even bother to wear their seatbelt. They're rolling the dice. I remember a lot of people would say, well, I don't want to be trapped in the car, you know. I want to be able to get out. I know people who've been killed and they were wearing their seatbelts. You know, they come up with all kinds of excuses. Nothing works 100% of the time, but, you know, just put your seatbelt on. You won't have to listen to that ding, ding, ding all the time. We all know about road ragers. 64% of the people have said that they have experienced road rage from other drivers. 64%. I don't know what road rage does. If somebody flips you off, is that road rage? Well, I tell you one thing. It can start road rage. And I think we have to sometimes just say, that's okay. Just go on. No problem. It's easy to get mad, but there's things that we should get mad about, and that's probably not one of them. A lot of people that pull out in front of us, they don't realize they've done anything wrong. They just forgot. They fail to look. They've got a lot on their mind. They got somebody sick at home or something like that. And the last one are the miracle mergers. These are people who don't know how to merge, and they don't understand that, you know, you're working to get into the traffic. You're not going to the very end of the lane, and then suddenly you have to merge and end up, you know, causing an accident or something. I mean, merging, I don't know that it's an art, but it does take some planning and using of mirrors, right? Mirrors, they're on the car. They're there for a reason. You need to use them. You know, and I have those blind spot monitors on mine, and they're okay, but you still got to be able to see. So, I don't know. I hope you agree, or I'm sorry if you don't. You may be one of these people. I've been several of them. I'm trying to think what I've been. I've been a left laner. Maybe I've been a rubbernecker every now and then. I'm a race driver. I didn't talk about race drivers. 51% of people admit to driving too fast. My wife says I drive too fast. So, you know, I'm pointing the fingers at me too. I'm not a median maniac though. I'm definitely not that. And I don't tailgate. So I'm proud of those two things. Just that in and of itself is enough for me. Okay. I'll be back in just a second. Okay. I'm back. You know, I read all these articles about EVs and EV acceptance and all the automakers and what they're doing and General Motors and Toyota and Ford and everybody. But, you know, I still, when I talk to customers, I talk to people, I said, would you buy an EV? No. Well, why would I do that? I just don't find it. I don't see it. Maybe it's just the rural area. Maybe it's the demographics, age, economic status. I don't know. But, you know, that's one of my biggest struggles with trying to decide whether I'm going to be an EV dealer. I have another opportunity in I think, 3 years if I want to change my mind and become an EV dealer at Gateway. But I'm sorry, I just don't see that many people knocking down the doors to get them. I think they think about the cost. They're very unsure about the charging infrastructure that's out there, and rightfully so. It's just not there, and it won't be there for several years. So they think we're crazy. I think they're crazy. Ford is investing $50 billion. They're betting that much. General Motors is doing that or more, and they think it's going to be the surging growth. That basically, they're predicting 12% annual growth over the next 3 years because of the sale of EVs. So, I don't know. We'll see it. We'll see if it happens. I'll be here, and I'll be coaching you and helping. And, you know, there's very few people around here that knows more about EVs than I do. So, if you need any assistance in making a decision or what you're going to do about your charging at your house and you know, what's really involved in this, what other considerations are there, then I'll be glad to help you answer those questions. Just call me on my cell phone, 423-552-2020, or send me a text message. And then, if you like email, you can send me an email at mycarguru2020@gmail.com. Well, we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.